preach. Praise God. Well, the Lord is good, isn't that right? And His mercy does endure forever. It's not a question of if His mercy endures forever. It does endure forever. Aren't you glad that it does endure forever? Praise God. Amen. Well, I want us to look at a subject tonight on the ministry of Jesus as it relates to us and fulfilling our call and the strength of what He did and what He's told us to do in that. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 11, if you would, please. I want to look at the virtue tonight of humility. And I know that's, oh my God, humility. You're the one I'm talking to tonight. You're at the right place at the right time. I know this, that the Bible says God hates pride. Now, He doesn't hate prideful people. God doesn't hate people. I think that's probably, I don't know about you, let me speak for myself. For me, it's to learn how do you hate sin but love the person who's sinning? He's perfect at it. But we are not so perfect at it sometimes. But I know that in looking at the key to me of what Jesus did, one of the great aspects of that was His humility. Now, anytime you think of humility, you don't ever think weak. It is not weak. Humility is a force that is unstoppable. It's an unstoppable force. The only thing that will stop humility in your life is your pride. Right? And so this is a sermon tonight about dealing with ourselves. We're not thinking about anybody else tonight. Tell your neighbor, I'm not even going to think about you. I'm going to forget you're here. God bless you. I love you, but it's not about you tonight. Amen. Matthew 11:28 from the King James, we'll start here. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I've got to admit to you, for years, when hearing that scripture and reading it and even hearing it, I would hear, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, I've even heard some preachers preach it. They almost cry, you know, because they're so beat down and so heavy laden, you know, and they're so tired. Okay. And then you read that, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And you skip over the next part and go to, and you shall find rest in your soul. Oh, thank God. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I'm reading this, and actually I'm hearing somebody teach on this subject. And they made a statement. And have you ever been listened to someone minister and they make a statement and then you're gone because you are the Lord on the inside said something, came up on the inside of you? You know, all of us have the Holy Ghost. If you're born again, you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside, right? He is the teacher of the church, is He not? And so in reading that, I heard the Lord say this, you're still missing the most important part. Talking to me, not the person speaking, but to me. And so I read it again. He said, notice this. He said, take my yoke upon you, learn me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He said, that's what, and He spoke this to me, that's what I want you to learn. How to be meek and lowly of heart. Then you shall find rest to your soul. Amen. Then the yoke will be easy and the burden light. But humility. Let's read this from the Message Bible, verse 28. Are you tired? Worn out? Sound like a commercial now. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Glory to God. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real test. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I love this phrase. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Instead of Peterson in his translation here said, instead of saying, for I'm meek and lowly heart, learn of me. Here's what I want you to learn. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Now, why? What does that have to do with humility? Because grace, in order to partake of grace, I have to recognize that I can't do whatever it takes to get there. It has to be by God's grace. So I have to humble myself and say, it's all you, God. See, he said, are you burned out on religion? You're burned out trying to do it your own way? Are you burned out trying to be a children's minister or be a parking lot attendant or be in a good church, but just whatever? Are you burned out doing it in your own strength? Come, let me teach you. And he said, you'll learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Glory to God. Unforced. Because it comes from God. I'm not forcing it. God's already provided it. Now I have my part, receive it through faith, but yet God's the one that's already done the work, right? He goes on to say, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How many of that sounds good? All right, let's look at the New Living Translation here. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Now, no, I want this because he actually says it. Because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and the burden I give is light. Now, here for some time now, it's been probably here a couple years now. Well, I say that it seems like I don't know how long it's been, but I'll be reading along in the Bible. And especially in things in the New Testament. And there's two things that God has been talking to me about. Number one is notice with God. He told me, notice that when I ask you to do something, I'm asking for an all-in decision. That you're not holding anything. You're going to go all in. And as I look, I'll write that in my Bible as I see somebody all in. That they made an all-in decision. You know, the man who was the blind man who took off his beggar's coat to get to Jesus, his license to beg, he made an all-in decision. The woman with the issue of blood made an all-in decision. Peter made an all-in decision to walk on the water, but then he got scared. You see, but at least he got out of the boat. But everybody, you know, Paul made an all-in decision. That the grace of God was sufficient. He went to God and, you know, asked God, hey, can I get rid of this persecution? But yet that same guy that did that's the same guy that when they stoned him, and I believe they stoned him and killed him, they got around him, prayed. He got up and went back into the same city where the people lived who just stoned him. Why? He had made an all-in decision. Okay? That, and then the other thing, and as it relates to this, that it's not about me. And if I want to share with you the greatest thing that I can say about humility is, if you make it about you, you're not operating in humility. If it's about me, you see, if it's about me, then I've taken over lordship of my life. And I'm not allowing Jesus to be Lord of my life, which is depending 100% on God's grace. Now, yes, I have my part. I understand that. But how many of you found out you can't do what only God can do? Could you get to God? Could you live holy enough to be right with God? No. You know what? Can I tell you something? You still can't. You still can't do it. Praise the Lord. Now, does that mean we just live any way we want? No, we live according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. So let's look here at a couple of things. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20. See, Jesus never made it about himself. He never made it about him. One thing he made it about was the Father. He came to glorify the Father and to reveal the Father to us and to defeat the devil that we might be free. Right? He didn't make it about himself. And we see this here when James and John wanted to make it about themselves and their mother, they came with him here in Matthew 20 with them to see Jesus. They wanted to be one on the right hand, one on the left in his kingdom. And Jesus talked to them there, and the other disciples weren't very happy about that. But we pick up in verse 25, Matthew, I'm going to read this here from the King James. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Now see, how do things operate in the world? How do people use position and authority in the world? They do it to put others down, not to lift them up. You see, he said they exercise dominion over them and that they are great exercise authority upon them. Not exercising my authority for you, but to you. So I'm not doing that for you, I'm doing it to you. That makes sense to you? All right. He said, but it shall not be so among you. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm saying, okay, Tad, you can't operate that way. It has to be this way. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Literally, your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, he said. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now here, you can see Jesus. He'd already said, I am meek and lowly. Well, he proves it here when he talks about, he said, look, greatness is not your position. Amen? It's not being at the head of the line. It's helping others. That's greatness in God's kingdom. Greatness, being the chief, is not being elected to a position. It's being a servant to people. He said, even I, the Son of Man, came not to be served, literally, but to serve others. Let's look at this from the Message Bible. Well, I didn't look it up in that. Hang on a second. Matthew 20. Thank God for technology, but it works better when you program it ahead of time. Can I get a witness? Message Bible first, right? Is that what I said? Okay, let's go with what I said here. Verse 25. So Jesus got them together to settle things down. He said, you observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. And the word slave here doesn't mean, you know, it's an attitude of the heart. He came to serve, not to be served. And then to give away his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be the best at what you do, right? Nothing wrong with that. But he's saying you can't do that at the expense of others. It has to be about others first. Now, we're going to look here in a moment that all of us have a calling on our life from God. All of us have a purpose in life from God. Every child of God does. And we're going to see something about that here in just a minute. But look here in the New Living. But Jesus called them together. So you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. And officials flaunt their authority over those under them. I thought it was so outstanding this morning when Pastor talked about authority. The authority. And then giving the keys away to someone else to give them the ability to operate in that authority. And that key is the name of Jesus. Of such a great example he gave this morning. He said, but among you it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 2 now. Philippians chapter 2. See, Jesus, and we are called to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry of reconciliation. It's really not our ministry, it's his ministry. And now we in order to register ministries or to that type of thing, you know, for people to be able to find, you know, we name our ministries, you know, Rhema or Kenneth Hagin Ministries or whatever, you know, all kinds of different names such as that. And that's fine, but we need to realize that we are ministry. This Jesus is the head of this ministry. He's the head of every ministry and minister. Let me say that again. Jesus is the head of every ministry and minister. All right. And so the thing that you learn, especially in and I was just talking about this the other day with students that in supportive roles. All right. You know, our staff, Rhema Bible Church still goes and visits people when they're in a hospital, when we know about it, still goes and visits them. But we go, the staff goes on behalf of Pastor Hagen. If he could go, he would. You see, but we go in his place. And so we have to value people and treat people the way that he values and treats them. You see, we're doing it for him, right? Well, if you can take that even bigger, we're doing it. We have to value and treat people and do ministry the way that Jesus said we are to do it. Now, all of us are different, right? We all have different strengths. We have different personalities. But our diversity actually makes us stronger. When we're, the more diverse we are, when we come together, the more strengths we have. So we're not talking about doing away with our diversity, but we are talking about doing ministry with the same motivation as Jesus. And he said, I am meek and I am lowly of heart. That's how he did things. Now that same meek person made a whip out of rope and ran folks out of the temple. Not because it angered him, because it was wrong. And they were supposed to be ministering to others, and they weren't ministering, they were taking advantage of people. And he ran them out of there. That same meek and humble man told the religious leaders of his days, you're snakes and vipers and whitewashed tombs. But he never yet walked out of love, not once. Or spoke a word out of love. Why? Because he was lowly and meek. Lowly in heart and meek. Amen? Now look here in Philippians 2. Let's start in the King James verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Well, right there in my Bible, I wrote, not about me. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That doesn't mean, hey, what did you got over there? Let me have some of that. No. That means help others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, here we go. Here again, we're going to find out something about Jesus' earthly ministry and how that we can operate the same way. He said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Amen. He took upon him, he made himself of no reputation, the Bible says there. Well, you know, as Brother Hagin would say at times, that's kind of blind to us. So let's read it from the Message Bible and then the New Living again. Listen to verse 1. If you've gotten anything out of all, this is the message, out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Whew. Now, you know, I don't care how sweet you are about it. If you're putting others down to advance yourself, you're a prideful person. That's not humility. Moving right along, don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. See, again, what's my concern? Here was it just a couple of weeks ago, a week ago, Craig in preaching about faith, he made the statement, yeah, it might have been at Winter Bible, it's time for us to stop. Nothing wrong with using your faith for your need, but we've got to start using our faith to help others. And the Bible teaches that. Amen. Listen to this, verse 5. Think of yourselves the way Christ thought of himself. Okay, here we go. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took upon the status of a slave or a servant and became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. But there's something about a humble person. You can crucify them and they're still going to rise up and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A truly humble person. Amen. When you're humble, it doesn't matter what anybody does to you. You're still going to end up. Because we're not talking about it. Because sometimes when we talk about, well, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then we get focused on the exalt. I got to be exalted. I got to be lifted up. And then we get focused on that. And how can I figure out how to be lifted up? And we forget about humbling ourselves. So let's just talk about it from that stem. But I'm telling you, Jesus, we know the end result, right? Why did he go to the cross? Why did he endure crucifixion? Because he was humble. You know, we should say he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have. He had done nothing to deserve the cross. He was not guilty. But I was. And he humbled himself for me and you. See, it wasn't about him. It was about others. Praise the Lord. Let's read this in the New Living Translation. Praise God. Now see, here, again, we can live this way. We can minister this way. Verse 1 in the New Living. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. See, Paul's writing this to the church there. And we're in part of the same church, not necessarily locale, but the same spiritual body, spiritual church that they are. Look what his desire is. Don't be selfish, he said, verse 3. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality as with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave or a servant and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Glory to God. Now, I don't think any of us would stand here today and honestly say that we think Jesus was weak. Amen? And we know the end result. And he's saying, look, come to me. Come to me, all you who are laboring in this kingdom. All you who are laboring in this ministry. Come to me. For my yoke is easy. Come learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. He said, and then your yoke will be easy and your burden will be light, just like mine is. You think he called the cross a light burden. And the yoke, he was yoked to the will of God. In other words, he was connected to it, just like a set of oxen. You connect them. They're yoked together. They're going together. Jesus was yoked with the will of God for his life so much that he called it a light yoke. And he endured that. You know, I think some folks' tendency is if once it gets a little rough, they want to get unyoked because it's about them. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're talking about the living a powerful life. Tonight, we're talking about ministering in the power of God. You think about Jesus. He said, All the things that Jesus did. I mean, we read through there and he healed multitudes. I mean, all the individual cases that came to him, he cast out demons. He fed multitudes. He said this, the Father in me, he does the work. He never took credit for one thing. The Father in me, he does the work. And really, you know, if we want to be scripture, we talk about, well, Jesus healed this one. If we want to agree with Jesus, literally, we would say God healed them through the ministry of Jesus. Because Jesus said, he said, it's the Father. He does the works, not me. Think about that. Glory to God. Ephesians 4, verse 1 here from the King James Bible. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. That's the same, almost the same phrase as Matthew. With long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's a whole lot easier for me to live peaceably with people when I'm humbling myself, when I'm walking in humility. It's a whole lot easier. Amen. Look at this from the Message Bible, if you would, please. Ephesians 4, verse 1. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. Well, that sounds like a whole lot like Brother Hagin. Marvin, you remember that. Brother Hagin, get up there. I remember him in the RMA. He said, it's taken me, 40, 50 years to learn these things. He said, don't take that long. I'm teaching them to you now. Learn it now and go out there and go farther and go do much more than what I've done. If you don't, I'm going to run out there and kick you in the seat of the pants. Tell you to get going. That's what that sounds like right there. Paul's in prison. He can't go out on the road. He's telling him, he said, don't sit there on your hands. Take it up. Go. Fulfill. Walk worthy of the vocation or the calling with which you are called. Verse 2. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline. Not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Notice that. Pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Whew. Now see, we're talking about powerful life and ministry doing things this way. Let's read it from the New Living just to catch if there's anything there that'll help us. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Bind yourself together with peace. So that's what Jesus said. That's how Jesus ministered. He was always humble and gentle. He was patient with others. He made allowances for other people's faults. Amen. And you don't see Jesus ever defending himself. In fact, when they all walked away from him, he turned to his own company and said, are you guys going too? Because people didn't like what he said, and a bunch left. He said, are you going? And Peter said, well, where else can we go? It's obvious they thought about it. We looked around, didn't have any better off. Where else can we go? Make every effort, he said. Always be humble and gentle. All right, go back to Matthew 11 now. Let's read that. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. You know, you've heard Pastor talk about how his dad taught him, don't ever pray, Lord, bless me. Pray, Lord, make me a blessing. See, that's about keeping yourself in the proper position, putting others first. The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself, right? To consider the other better than yourself. Now, that doesn't mean you make yourself, you know, who are you? You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Who are you? You're a new creature in Him. Who are you? You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Who are you? You're the one that has the victory. You're the one that's walking in freedom. Who are you? And then treat others better than that. Amen. If you're more than a conqueror, well, they are more than you. Help them. You see what I'm saying? So when he talks about that, that's why it's so important, and we've talked about it in here and other, that we are steadfast in our belief system and in our faith in God's unconditional love for us. That I know God loves me unconditionally. That He made a decision before the foundation of the world to love me. Therefore, His love for me has nothing to do with me or my actions. It's a decision God has made. There's nothing I could ever do that would cause God not to love me. There's nothing I could ever do that would cause God to love me more. So therefore, I live from that foundation that I am loved by God. You see? So when you're in that place, see, when you know that, then you're free to love others because you know God is on your side. What can man do to me? And then, see, because when you humble yourself, you open yourself up. Right? I mean, you open yourself up. You're in a place of not protecting yourself. You're about the other person. Probably makes some pretty good marital counseling right there, but take it for what it is. So let's read this. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What do you want us to learn, Jesus? For I am meek and lowly in heart, or I am humble, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Dude, can you even see the humility in that? He said, look, come to me, and I'll make you better. He didn't say, come to me and I'll be better. Come to me and I'll be stronger. Come to me. He said, come to me and I'll make you better. Let me ask this. When people join themselves to you, are they better off or are you better off? I read Dr. James Richard made this statement in one of his books. He said, concerning ministry and developing leaders, am I going to use my ministry or am I going to use my position to build? Am I going to use people to build my ministry or am I going to use my ministry to build people? Jesus was about building people. Jesus was about you. He was about me. Amen. Well, you know, you and I can be the same way. We can be about others. And hey, thank God. Thank God that God meets all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Does He not? But when He comes back, if you don't have the latest model car sitting in your driveway, is it really going to matter? Let's make it about others. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. We just ask, Lord, that your Spirit would help us in all these things. Father, you're so gentle to us. You're so loving with us that you never point out all of our areas that we don't measure up because you love us. You make allowances for us. Thank you so much. But help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We don't want to have pride in our life. We don't want to put ourselves in resistance to your will for our life. Help us. And Father, we want to learn of Jesus, to be meek and lowly of heart, to be humble, and that we might put others before us and help them fulfill what God has called them to do. Father, in all these things, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor. For you are good, and your mercy endures forever. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and stand on your feet, if you will. Brother Bill, did we have first-time guests tonight? Okay, connection team, if you would go with our first-time guests and help them receive that gift on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and Rhema Bible Church. We're so thankful for you being here tonight. Give them a big hand clap as they go out. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. Do want to, not that you everybody run up to them, but Jim and Faye, thank you for coming up here. This is their, it gets me emotional. This is their last Sunday this year with us. They come in and pour out so much into our students. Why? Because they love people. Amen. And so they're good friends, and they're friends of this ministry for sure. And they're going to be heading out Wednesday after they teach their last class. And we thank God for them. They'll head back to Peru and go back to speaking Spanish again. Glory to God. Glory a Dios, he said. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. Let's just stretch our hands towards him. Father, we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Blessings. Blessings, 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 provision, strength, and health. Right, raising up mighty men and women of God to take it further, to go with them further than they've ever even thought about going, Father, and a mighty increase in all that they do. We give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you are here tonight and you need prayer, ladies, come see the ladies. Men, come see the men, and they will pray with you according to the Word of God. Because how many of you know it's the Word of God that gets results in our lives? All right? God bless you. Tell somebody you love them tonight, and you can be dismissed.